You got a lot tied up inside.
Hey, welcome to This Conversation Rocks. I am Todd, and this week we have a special guest host, Bob in Seattle. Say hello, Bob.
Hello, Bob. This is not so silent, Bob.
Bob has been gracious enough to agree to step in for Diane for a few podcasts while she gets back on her feet. As many of our listeners know, Diane, her and her husband, their house burned to the ground a few days ago, and she wants everybody to know how much she appreciates all the thoughts and comments and the people who have donated to the GoFundMe.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, GoFundMe. And when we're done, we'll put a link up to that. So anybody who wants to donate, more than we would really appreciate that'd, it on her behalf.
Be pretty awesome. I'm amazed at how much she's gotten already.
Yeah, the outpouring of support has just been phenomenal. And nobody is more surprised than she is.
Yeah, you know, I often wonder, I don't think I've known anybody firsthand that's ever had something like this set up for them. And so I was kind of curious to see how it was going to go. You know, like I was saying the other day, I'm pretty sure that if I was in that situation, I'd have like all five of my friends be like, yeah, we hooked you up. But I'm amazed every time I look at it. She's got a little bit more help from people. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And like I said, we'll put up a link again. I think we had it up, but we'll make sure it gets back up at the top of the page for anybody who is able and wants to contribute. So, and Amy over at the Because Show, thank you very much for your comments. Diane really, really appreciated it. And to everybody else who I can't remember all the names or anything, but again, on her behalf, thank you so very much. Just a couple other things. Want to say hey to Cherie in Seattle, who listened to our last podcast about workplace bullying. Cherie and I worked together for several years at a place that defined workplace bullying. So hey, Cherie, glad to see that you're listening to us and appreciate it very much. All right, so boy, you know, Diane does most of the talking on these things.
Yeah, no pressure on you, right?
All right. So we're going to, I don't know if we're going to depart from our normal routine, but tonight Bob and I are going to talk about sports.
Yay, sports.
But before everybody just turns us off, we're going to be talking about what FIFA, the IOC, the NCAA, and the NFL all have in common.
Corruption. We're going to get some voice tools to make that sound really cool one of these episodes, but for now, that's what you get.
Corruption, corruption, corruption.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. So, let's, Bob, you want to kick it off? Talk of where you want to talk about FIFA?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the big one going on right now with our good buddy Sepp Blatter, who looks like everybody's favorite grandpa. But in reality is the kind of guy that has his little minions trying to hide, you know, $10 million cookies here and there, you know, for a rainy day. So, you know, I mean, that's kind of the big one right now. I guess to me, I'm kind of surprised that the U.S. government is the one that's going after FIFA.
Yeah, well, you were reading on Reddit and some of the other boards, right? Some of the European contingent,
yeah,
was absolutely stunned.
Yeah, I think the funniest thing I've heard so far was somebody, and I don't even remember who it was. I think it was, I'm almost sure it was a player that was being interviewed. That's, you know, one of the well known. I don't know anything about soccer really, but one of the well known players over in Europe, and he was like, "Thank God for America! Like, who would have ever thought they were the guys that were going to finally tackle the FIFA corruption, right? Because apparently it is so completely out of control." Well, I'm a little surprised it's us too, to tell you the truth. They must have made somebody mad.
Right.
It's the only thing I can think. I'm not sure why we care, but you know, I'm all for cleaning up sports in any, you know, any arena. But it seems like FIFA needs it the worst, because wow. I mean, aside from maybe the Olympics.
Yeah, who we'll get to in a few minutes, but I mean, the list of issues with FIFA just in the last couple of years that I've become aware of, everything from, you know, the World Cup being awarded to Qatar,
right,
where it's going to be 140 degrees during the World Cup,
right,
with outdoor soccer fields, okay, to South Africa, apparently, you know, because that's the big one right now. South Africa apparently paid at least a $10 million bribe to Sepp Blatter's right-hand guy.
Yeah, they definitely like those $10 million cookies, because I keep hearing that number come up. I mean, I'm sure it's just a coincidence. You know, they're not asking for $10 million or anything. But if my hand is out and you just happen to put $10 million in it, who knows? You might get yourself, you know, some FIFA attention.
A World
That's
Cup.
That's right.
So, and then, of course, the other thing that it's not getting a whole lot of airplay right now, but about a year ago, maybe not even that, there were a lot of allegations about, you know, fixing these matches.
Yeah.
And how easy it is to fix a soccer match by just buying a referee.
Yeah, see, that was the part, I guess, you know, I was a little surprised at how rampant it is, and how easy it is. Because, I think it might have been you, a couple of my other friends I was talking to, that were talking about how both teams in a game had been paid off. And it was literally each team was trying to lose the game to the other team, and they couldn't do it. And was that you that I was talking to? Didn't we realize they had to end up like call the game or something like that? Because
I don't quite remember what the outcome was. But
just something really ridiculous.
And the thing that's interesting, right, is that, I mean, Real Sports on HBO has actually been talking about the corruption there at FIFA for quite a while. And it's amazing how easy it's been for them to actually get information about the fixing the soccer matches and everything else,
right?
Football matches,
you know. And I know a lot of the kind of the class A player type guys, you know, a lot of them are fed up with it, you know, because they've got a reputation. They don't really need to sell out, you know, because they've got good paychecks coming in, and they're kind of sick of the nonsense. And so I think there's, you know, you've got a couple groups, right? You know, you've got the groups of maybe players that are a little less well known, that are happy to take the hand out, and, you know, maybe, you know, trip when they go to kick the ball into the goal a couple times, you know. And then you've got the guys who are really good, like their career, you know, known for being, you know, soccer player guys, and they're sick of it. You know, they're like, you know, you can't do anything. It's like almost not worth playing. And I'm starting to see articles, read things about how some of those guys are starting to get close to the end of their careers, and they're like, I'm going to go play in America, you know, because there's no corruption over there in their soccer. You know, we'll still be viewed as a star because, you know, we play at such a high level. We'll be really great for their soccer. And, you know, I mean, it's amazing to me that America is kind of getting turned to a little bit as the non-corrupt place to go for soccer, right? Because I tend to think of a lot of things that are kind of potentially really corrupt here, you know, sports being one of them, so...
Right, and, you know, in fact, most of our sports, boxing.
Oh, yeah. Don King, that was a fluke.
Right, yeah. Boxing's clean now, you guys. You don't have to worry about it. There's no problems
now. No more palookas being put up in front of people anymore.
Yep. I mean, other than Pacquiao. No, wait a minute.
That fight would have been meaningful, what, 10 years ago, when both of those guys were kind of more in their prime, and now they're a little bit old, you know, kind of on the downside, but I honestly, I'm not really
Palooka,
a boxing
Palooka
guy.
And Palooka.
Yeah, not much of a boxing guy. I don't understand how boxing is kind of seems to be making a little bit of a comeback, and I don't really get that.
HBO and Showtime.
Yeah, I guess.
If HBO and Showtime had contracts with UFC, UFC would be 100 times bigger than it is today.
Yeah, and that, you know what? That is probably a lot to do with it. Because, you know, I mean, I'm so used to, I actually like the UFC stuff a lot more. To me, it's a lot more exciting, and the fights don't go, you know, 87 rounds, where each guy hit the other guy 347 to 393 times. It's like, how do you hit somebody 300 times or even 100 times and not just turn their face into a stain on the ground? Like, I don't get that. You know, I'm so used to watching, you know, UFC, where you get hit in the face three or four times, you're pretty much... they're dragging you out. You're not going to be standing up for the end of that fight, you know, and it's not going to go more than, you know, five rounds at most, but very rarely does it even go that far. So I don't know, I guess each to their own. But yeah, the boxing corruption thing kind of turned me off years ago with the Tyson stuff, when they just started putting palookas one up after another. And it was very obvious they were just putting up guys to get smashed, you know, so that they get the payday. I think the payday is ridiculous for boxing, but...
if you can negotiate,
people will pay it, right? So I guess, you know.
Look at how much money people dropped on the Pacquiao fight, right?
Yeah, I mean, each one of those guys were making, what, well over $100 million.
Yeah.
That's
insane.
Silly. Yeah, I mean, what are you contributing to humanity that's worth that much money, and then you get to do it again in 6 months? Because they're already talking about a rematch, and I'm like, why? I don't know. Again, maybe if you're a boxing fan, that's a super exciting thing to watch. I couldn't care less. I like two little dudes. Kind of. It almost seems to me like in my mind, I always kind of picture it as two little kids having a slap fight. Yeah. You know, like sitting there trying, you know, whacking each other's hands and stuff, and occasionally one gets through and you smack each other, and it's like, it's just like an adult version of that. It's kind of what my mind thinks of, but, well, you know, yeah. Definitely not a boxing right. fan. So anyways.
But, yeah, FIFA was, so Sepp announced that he's going to step down in December.
Yeah.
Which is just some kind of serious bullshit, right?
Yeah, I think that's the... I think he's hoping that people's short memories will save him. That's kind of the feeling I get out of this. That
the Justice Department doesn't have an indictment with his name.
Yeah, that he's not going to just get like stepping down is going to stop him from getting smeared all over the media and everything else, because like his number's coming. They had one of the, I think it was the VP of FIFA is getting right, came out yesterday and announced he's doing a tell all.
Right, he's the guy. He's the guy who got his hand caught with the $10 million cookie.
Yeah, was it him? Yeah. There's a couple of those guys right up at the top that are all like, you can tell they're up to it. They're up to their eyeballs in this whole thing, you know. So it's kind of, they're starting to all look the same to me a little bit. But
so what was really interesting to me though was understanding how FIFA is organized, and then it becomes obvious why it can be as corrupt as it is. And that's that every country that's a member of FIFA, which I assume is probably almost every country in the world.
Right.
Almost everybody has a soccer team, I think. Not a soccer guy myself. Yeah. I'm going to go with that. You know, when they say World Cup, they're a lot closer to it than when we say World Series.
Right.
That's for sure. But so every country who's a member gets a vote, which means that Trinidad has the same leverage as England.
Right. Yeah. Which.
And
so you can start paying off the little guys to counteract the votes of the big. Yeah.
Yeah, by kicking. Yeah, because like. Before the election was held 2 weeks ago, in which Blatter won his
landslide victory,
and it was
right?
Total landslide. Which, you know, it was numbers that communist dictators
right, envy. Right. You know, 98%. The other 2%, nobody knows where they ended up. Yeah, you know. Right. Yeah. I thought it was funny hearing, you know, all the different stations talking about, oh, he won, and man, it looked like he had it tied up already, and everybody's just shocked, and I'm just like, duh. Of course he does. The guy has been paying people off. Like, what part of the corruption makes you surprised that he just won in a landslide? You know, it's like, come on.
Right, because, I mean, the entire African contingent, right, all the nations of Africa had announced 2 weeks before the election that they were all voting for Blatter.
Right.
Right, and the reason is, of course, right, if you follow the money, a lot of money is going back and forth, right? Yeah. I think it was the guy from Trinidad who got indicted. And if it wasn't Trinidad, I do apologize to Trinidad for not knowing my Caribbean islands really.
Damn it, Trinidad.
But,
no, I'm just kidding.
But I believe it was Trinidad. Their guy got indicted. And two stories about that. First, the U.S. press was talking to a reporter down there who's been on this guy's case for years. And one, you know, been doing, you know, expose after expose about what kind of corrupt fuck this guy really is and stuff. But, yeah, because apparently, like, a few World Cups back, Trinidad's entire ticket allocation got assigned to a company to sell the tickets that just happened to be owned by the family of this representative. And the prices went from... Like, these ticket packages were worth, like, $8,000.
And they were being sold for slightly less than astronomical.
Yeah, about 20 grand.
Oh, jeez.
Something like that. You know what I mean?
It's ridiculous.
So, but the other part, of course, and people may have seen this, was the guy, you know, came out on the news. This guy from Trinidad did come out in the news this week, basically saying it's some kind of U.S. plot. And to prove it, he was reading an article from The Onion.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, trying to blame this on the U.S. is pretty convenient for just about everybody right now. I mean, even good old Putin's getting in on the let's blame the U.S. because he's convinced. I mean, I'm sure this is all just nonsensical propaganda that is all you really get from them anymore. But I mean, even Putin's like, this is America trying to, you know, mess with Russia. And it's like,
because Russia won a World Cup under somewhat questionable terms, too, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, they're one of the ones that are, I mean, as far as I know, they're going back all the way to 94, if I...
Oh, looking at...
Yeah, looking at all the transactions from then on, and apparently, like, a lot of the same individuals at the top are involved all the way back even then. So, I mean, this is a pretty long-standing, widespread, like almost to the point where I don't think anybody was really hiding it anymore because they'd gotten away for so long that they were kind of like, you know, they just kind of figured, you know, we can do whatever we want and who's going to stop us. And apparently it's the FBI. Who would have guessed?
Yeah. Because, you know, and doing whatever you want is a nice transition point to talk about the IOC.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you talk about a group that seriously has been going out of their way. You know, these might be the only guys that make FIFA look like almost under control. With some of the demands they have. In fact, I can't remember. I think China was the only one in the current standing. It's like China and one other country that are still vying for whatever the next, you know, Olympics.
Winter,
yeah, that they're handing out at this point, which is a number of years out, but.
It was like Sweden, right? Or something.
Well, Sweden, I think,
like
Sweden, I think, was the last one that pulled.
The hell with it. Yeah, they said, the hell with it. We're not going to do it. And why weren't they going to participate?
Yeah, and it was... and I think the only two left are... It's like China and, like, Libya or some... I mean, it's some, like, one
Winter Games in
yeah,
Libya.
Yeah, one of the states is like, you're like, what? Or, I don't know, maybe it was Ukraine or some... You know, it was somebody where you're just like, them? You know, and China was like... Which, you know, China's the only... legitimate choice. Like, they're not going to pick this other little tiny state, you know, who's got, you know, lots of financial problems probably. But yeah, and I mean, just some of the ridiculous things they were asking for. Like, there had to be what was it, alcohol bars at every single event that was just for the IOC members,
and the mini bars filled, all the hotel room mini bars had to be filled with Diet Coke.
Was it Diet Coke? Yeah,
or it was Coke products at least.
Products, and, yeah, and you know,
and what was it? Every morning they had to have a selection of the local
delicacy pastries, and you know, it's just like.
But the truly audacious bit I thought was that they demanded that the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, all their key people would be given access to the freeway in a lane that nobody else could use.
Yeah, and it wasn't a lane, if I remember reading it right. It's an actual road that goes from the hotel, wherever that is, to the stadium and the surrounding facilities where the Olympics will be held, and nobody can use it but them. And it's like, wow. Talk about some serious elitism right there. To even think that's a justifiable, you know, request, like, no matter who the country is that you're asking for, that's just so completely, like, you're so detached to even ask for something like that. It's kind of staggering. But, yeah, there was a lot of it. They had to be greeted by, I can't remember, it was state official or something like that was another one. I mean, it was just like...
Yeah, like, they're like a head of state, right? Yeah. The IOC.
Yeah, and it's like, right, who the fuck are you guys again, other than the guy who takes the bribes?
Yeah. And that's really, let's be honest, right? That's really what was going on there.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you know,
I don't know.
I mean indictments notwithstanding, because, I mean, obviously nobody's been indicted, but, you know.
Well, I'm hoping...
If I was AOC, I'd be looking at FIFA right now.
Yeah, I'm hoping the FIFA thing kind of sends a little shiver up their greasy little spines.
And the people listening to this might think, well, why do we care? And there's a variety of reasons that I think that we do care about this, but I will say this about things like World Cup and the Olympics and stuff. Cities that win these things spend an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
And you have to ask yourself if these things are actually in the public good. And there, you know, there's arguments either way and stuff. But keep in mind, it's kind of our public money that's going to bribe these guys.
Right, and maybe not necessarily yours or mine this time, but it will be somebody at some point. And it's just a really bad precedent to allow to happen. I'm hoping FIFA kind of freaks the IOC out. And honestly, I wouldn't mind if, you know, the FBI, once they get done, you know, doing this, decide to go after. I mean, they don't seem to do anything else, you know. And now that the war, quote, and I'm using air quotes liberally here, war on drugs is starting to wind down a little bit in some of the states, you know, they're going to need something to do. So maybe they can go after the IOC next and, you know, mess some of those idiots up. That'd be nice to see. And you know, among other targets that they can take out. NFL, right. I'm talking about you.
Yeah. So, yeah, interestingly enough, right, the NFL, of course, the NFL organization itself just willingly gave up their nonprofit status because people are questioning how they can have $4 billion and be a nonprofit.
You know, it's rough being an NFL, you know, mega millionaire. You know, it's tough work, Todd, you know.
I imagine. I mean, imagine Goodell, you know, works really hard for that astronomical salary.
He lives in a mere, you know, 22-bedroom house, you know. I don't know how he makes ends meet. It's crazy.
Yeah, because the thing with Goodell, right, is that, or the NFL and guys like Goodell and stuff, becoming a private organization, not a non-profit organization, means that they never have to disclose their salaries anymore.
Yeah, convenient.
Yeah, exactly. It is very convenient.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, most of the stuff that the NFL does is just a money-making scheme anyways, right? Like the one that everybody kind of is like, yeah, and has like the real feel-good vibe on it is the whole breast cancer thing, right? So you'll see the NFL, like all the teams in the NFL will be wearing, with the exception of maybe their jersey and their helmets, they'll be wearing pink. So like the pink cleats, the pink gloves, the pink, you know, little hand wipe towels. Yeah, and stuff like that. And, you know, it's all supposed to be this big, you know, donation generator for, you know, for breast cancer, right? Which I have a little bit of an issue with, because it's like, why would you support, not that I'm against breast cancer, but breast cancer's got a ton of support. Why wouldn't you support something like, you know, colon cancer that, like, you know, what is it, like a third of men are going to be guaranteed to get in their life, and nobody does anything for that. You know, I mean, you got like, what, Movember? That's it, right? You know, and it's funny. I don't really want to grow a stupid mustache, you know, for awareness, but, you know, it's like, why wouldn't you do that? Yeah. But, you know, okay, so you picked breast cancer, great. You know, good on you guys for trying to do that. And then you turn around and find out that it's some just really nominal little sliver of money that they generate out of the whole amount that they generate goes to actual breast cancer, you know, research. Yeah, I mean, it's something like, it was like 20% or something like that. And the rest of it is all divvied up between the teams and the vendors and the NFL themselves and like every other but person that can get their damn hand in the pot, right? And it's obviously just a scam. It's not really. I mean, they're just appropriating breast cancer to just make money. You know, I mean, it's like the professional equivalent of one of those guys that stands out on the corner with his little cardboard sign, I'm homeless, but then gets in a car and drives home to his $200,000 home. I mean, it's just it's a professional equivalent of that. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, guys, whatever. Stop pandering for, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. But, you know, I mean, that's just one of the many things the NFL does, you know, that I have a real issue with. You know, I mean, you got the Deflategate, obviously, and, you know, you've got lots of guys in the NFL that are doing lots of stupid things that if it was you or me doing them, we would be going to jail for a long time.
Right,
and these guys get a little slap on the hand, and then they cry because the NFL was mean to them. And the NFL's like, oh, sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead and play again. Here's your millions. And it's just like...
Yeah, Adrian Peterson is back with the Vikings after having the charges almost, you know, against him almost dismissed, basically. He pled guilty to a misdemeanor in the connection to sending his young son to the hospital after beating him with a switch.
Right, because if you and I beat a kid bad enough to put him in the hospital with a switch or whatever...
Misdemeanor all the way.
Oh,
right?
Oh yeah, we wouldn't be getting put in jail with, like, hardcore criminals and getting it leaked. You know, we'd end up dead or somebody's woman the next day. You know, I mean, this guy, no... We just, you know, you were out of the league for a little bit, but now you've got an official apology from the king, and you get to have your job back. It's not you or me. Any of the rest of us, we go to jail for child abuse for the rest of our lives.
Which I think that's what this was.
Yeah. Well, yeah, little over the top. You put the kid in a hospital. Come on. What'd he do, spill his milk? I mean, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I can't think of anything that would justify that kind of a reaction, but it's like, dude, too much anger, maybe? Maybe you should be seeing somebody over that?
Exactly, right?
But what's his name? Ray, was it Ray Rice that, you know,
Ray Rice.
That, you know, Mike Tyson'd his girlfriend, you know, in public.
Domestic violence.
Yeah, and then drug her down the hallway, her limp, unconscious body down the hallway to their room. Like, yeah, it's cool. You know,
no problem.
Makes the NFL look good.
Two-game suspension.
You know, and I mean, I get part of it. You know, the thing is I don't necessarily feel like the NFL needs to be the police. They do have conduct rules that I think they need to be black and white on to some degree. You know, they need to say, look, if you get caught doing these domestic violence, and you know, it's something that's, you know, a felony, you know, assault, whatever, regardless of whether your money hungry girlfriend slash to be wife decides she's not going to press charges because she wants to make sure you're getting those big fat paychecks, you're going to be kicked out of the league. Like, that's all there is to it. And, like, they can bitch and complain and, you know, whatever. I mean, there's conduct rules at everybody's job. If I go into work naked, they're going to fire me, you know?
If you went into, wait, more to the point, if you went into your job and you hit the girl next to you in the cubicle next to you and knocked her out,
yeah,
you're going to jail.
Yeah, I mean, there's all these rules that the rest of us understand just, like, by default, like, you don't get to do these things, even though, trust me, anybody who's been in a relationship, psychologically, you've been there. You wanted to do that at some point, but you didn't because you knew you'd go to jail and you'd probably have a lot of other really bad consequences, you know, and aside from the fact that it just makes you look like a raging douchebag, you know, because, like, seriously, like, I don't care. She pushed you in your face. Oh, no. Like, that doesn't happen every day in a game. Yeah. Trust me, I played football at Division I school. Way worse stuff than that happens to you every play in a game. And I know, because I'm...
pushed me in my face.
Yeah, I was a lineman. Wow. I was in the pile with you. I knew what was going on. I might have been a purveyor of some of the stuff going on to other people. Just saying, theoretically. You know, so, like... You can't even justify that in any way. But here we are, you know, now it's been, what, a year, year and a half, 2 years, something like that?
Year. No, yeah, it's just a year. He sat out last season.
Yeah, and that's...
He'll be back.
He's back. All's been forgiven. The NFL has cordially apologized and, you know, oh, we're really sorry we, you know, held you accountable for your actions. I mean, it's terrible, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And then, you know, the NFL keeps saying, oh, well, we really want to work on our image. Well, that's the wrong way to go about it, guys. You know, you let...
And again, this is what I would challenge people to think about. It's not about whether or not you like sports, because to a great degree, I think everybody in America likes sports.
Sure.
But the thing is that we passively support this stuff, unfortunately, by just, you know, sitting there watching the NFL.
By not having a problem with it. You know, I mean, remember back Dallas had, you know, they had the team that everybody was like, yeah, everybody on the team's a criminal except for like two guys, you know, look how long they had that reputation, right? And now, even to this day, if something happens there in Dallas and one of their guys on their team does something even just slightly stupid, they're like, oh yeah, bunch of criminals, you know, because that stuff sticks. Like, you know, it doesn't take a lot to get that reputation, but it takes a ton to get rid of it, right? And the NFL keeps talking about how, oh yeah, we want to make our we really want to work on a reputation, so we're not going to let people tackle with their heads. Right, guys, I don't think that's the problem. I don't think somebody hitting a quarterback is the problem. I mean, the problem is the dude hitting his wife out in public and then not getting anything done to him for it, where the rest of us would be, again, we would be in jail. It's nonsense. You create this double standard and people resent it. I know I do.
Or you can cheat
and it's okay. Yeah.
And it's
kind of
okay.
You'll get a little slap on the wrist.
You know, yeah, he's going to sit out four games. Yeah. We're talking about,
oh, Brady. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's going to sit out four games. But again, like,
who cares?
The equivalent action would cost you your job.
Yeah, I mean, that's meaningless. Like, I, honestly, I know there's a bunch of people that are like, oh, it was too harsh because they find him a couple million dollars, and they find him a first round draft pick next year, and then I think it was like a second round draft pick in 2017, right? And the draft pick, those hurt. Those, like, admittedly, that was like, okay, cool, good move. But then you sat him for four games. Who gives a crap? Sit him for the whole year, you know?
Right.
And you find the team a couple million dollars. Wait. You find, like, a $1 billion team a couple million dollars? Oh, no. Like, what right. You made him go without lunch for a day? Like, who cares?
No,
like, that's nothing, right? You know, and the fact that he did that kind of stuff, and the fact that they've got the past that they do, just shows that the teams have that culture of cheating is okay if you can get away with it, right? And I know that's kind of prevalent out there, right? Because I remember guys saying, you know, it's only illegal if you get caught, you know, when you're doing stuff. And everybody tries to get that advantage, and everybody tries to do, like, the little block and the, you know, the different kinds of techniques and stuff that are kind of gray area. But I'm sorry, deflating balls, like, isn't a gray area. It actually has, like, a measurable difference in how the game plays out that actually equals points. And it's measurable, you know.
And it was measured by our good friends, even though they don't know us, but our good friends over at 538.
Yeah, love those guys, right? Because, and they found, they kind of stepped on it by accident because somebody has suggested that, hey, if the ball's not inflated properly, you'll notice that they have way less fumbles than normal, right? And so what these guys, they didn't really think much about it, but they went and took a look at it, and I think they went back like 4 or 5 years, and they took all the teams in the NFL, looked at the average rate of fumbles for every single team, and came up with a range, like a normal range. And every year that normal range is about the same. You have the same high, the same low, and everybody has that bell curve within that range, you know? And all of a sudden,
except for
last year, when this deflate thing really got out of hand, because there's been insinuations that this has been an ongoing thing for years. There was a guy at least 3 or 4 years ago that complained to the NFL about it, and they blew him off because they didn't believe it was true, right? Which they were like, no way, right? You know, and I guess Brady hadn't been doing it every game at that point, but it was already happening then, right? But they start looking at the fumble rates, and all of a sudden the Patriots are way under the normal rate of fumbling for any team. So basically what was happening is they figured out that it came out to about 3 extra points per game that they either weren't losing to a fumble or that they were getting because they held on to it, depending on how you want to look at it. It averaged out to what the number of points they lost based on the number of fumbles they had over the year compared to all the other teams for the last few years that they looked at. They were way under that rate. So now it goes from, it's not just a little gray area and he was kind of, you know, tweaking it a little bit to get just a slight advantage in comfort or whatever. Like, there's actually a measurable point difference that his team was getting over this, and it was like 3 points a game or 3.5 points a game. I mean, that's a noticeable amount, because I'm a Charger fan, and we can lose a game by 3 points better than anybody in the NFL. If we had to play them every week, that's an entire season for us. You know, I mean, if they're winning every game by, you know, if they're getting an extra 3 points every week, you know, I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, I mean, I personally think they should have thrown him out for the year, if not permanently. I think that's ridiculous. If they were serious about their image, the team should have got way more penalties and fines and stuff. I personally think the NFL, like the Super Bowl, should have been invalidated for last year, and they just should have put an asterisk on the charts and, you know, not giving it to anybody and just said, you know, the winner was, you know, caught cheating, and therefore, even if they didn't cheat in that particular game, who cares? You know, I mean, they're not serious about fixing the image. They're serious about getting people to look the other way.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
so they come out and they make it sound all big and like, man, we really nailed them to the wall. But when you really start looking at it, other than the draft picks next year, which that team is so stacked that ultimately it's still not going to be that big of a deal. I mean, that one hurts a little bit, but who cares? You know, it's one player that they won't get. Big deal. I mean, those guys get anybody they want. They've got the salary. You know, it's just nonsense. They didn't do anything. It was just a slap on the wrist, as far as I'm concerned. And it's a stain on the reputation of Brady, because, like, honestly, everybody's going to question him now. Like, no matter what he does, he's always going to have that extra comment in every conversation that, oh, yeah, but that's the guy that had to cheat.
Because the question now is really, how good is Brady, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care. You know, I mean, the thing is that I guess that's the thing is that I think is the cherry on the cake that annoys me, is that he is a good quarterback. The guy is clearly one of the most talented quarterbacks that's come through. The team is one of the best managed teams, one of the best coached teams in the NFL, kind of every year for a long time now. And the fact that they still have that mindset that they're going to cheat anyways, like that's the part that just really pisses me off. If it was a team that was just trying to get a couple extra wins because they were terrible, like the Raiders, you know, I could, sorry, that was uncalled for, but it still was cathartic. You know, I could get it. I could understand that, but it's just nonsense, man. Like, you're going to cheat anyways, even though you're fully capable of beating the teams that you're playing. It's just stupid.
Yes. It is, right? And so, again, you know, it comes back to, you know, does it matter? Well, it all depends on where you're standing. But I think that if we are unhappy by these things, and, you know, you hear people complain about this stuff all the time, I think we need to do more than just kind of vocalize our frustration with it. You know, you need to seriously consider, you know, how much supporting this stuff is worth
it. And I think it does matter on a bigger scale, even just socially in the local areas. Like, you know, San Diego right now, can't get a San Diego fan. San Diego is trying to decide whether they want to build a new stadium in San Diego, and they're talking about it. They're in negotiations right now. They're talking that this is going to be, if they do it, it's going to be, I think the number they keep kicking out there is $1.1 billion, right?
And that's a hell of a lot of
is.
Money
and,
for eight
and
Sundays.
You know that number is going to be low. Right. So, So, you know, it's going to probably be another 25% on top of that, right, is my guess. But, okay, let's just say it's just $1 billion just for round. Like, you think about all that money that's going to come out of that local economy to make that happen. Because even though they're down there saying, oh, we figured out a way to pay for this whole thing, and, you know, the local community is not going to pay a dime. Right. That's total BS, right? That's just politicians speak for. We're just not going to tell you. We're going to play games and not tell you how we actually took it out of your pocket for you. But the thing is I'm not necessarily against it, right? Because I think those teams can bring in money to the local area, improves the area where they build the stadiums. You know, you get kind of urban, you know, because there's some crappy areas down there that could really benefit from being kind of refreshed.
Sure.
Right, you know. And while it might not even necessarily even be a break even, there is going to be money coming in. You know, San Diego is a perfect place where if you had a decent stadium, they'd hold the NFL, the Super Bowl there. And that's a huge boon to the local area, right? Because you got lots of big spenders coming in for that kind of stuff, right? You know,
interesting. It's not quite as big as you think, but
really,
that may be true,
but still, right? You know, I mean, there's a lot of potential like upside to having a team, you know, to having a sport that's this well liked, right? Well, if you start pissing everybody off and everybody starts to think the sport is tainted because it's just fixed. Like, look what happened to boxing for all those years. And like, I know it's starting to come back a little bit here, but I mean, it's been 15, 20 years. I think the last time boxing anybody I knew took seriously was I was in high school.
Right. It's been quite a while since it had the popularity that it had when we were in it. Yeah. Like,
right. I was in high school last time boxing, and everybody was like, yeah, Don King, you know, setting up palookas and it's all fixed and it's a bunch of nonsense. And I think there might have been a few people might have got a slap on the wrist for it at some point, which just reinforced it on the public side that this is all make-believe. Like, at least wrestling comes out and tells you that it's set up and fake, right? Even though those guys are still, like, physical specimens, you know? They're all like, yeah, it's fake. And you know what? And nobody cared. But if you're trying to say that it's real and it's not and it's all fixed, people are going to stop watching, right? You know, and then what's the point of spending $1 billion on a stadium for a sport that nobody wants to go see anymore because they think it's all just fixed. It's already, you know, and honestly, even if it's not totally fixed, the NFL doesn't do much to try and dissuade that. You know, I mean, some of the stuff they've done in the past, you got to wonder, you know, like I live in Seattle now. You got to wonder about the Seahawks when they played, you know, who was it a couple of years ago where Steelers. They played the Steelers. And even the quarterback of the Steelers was like, yeah, I didn't get that touchdown. Like, I literally watched him admit on TV, he's like, that was not a touchdown. And the NFL just gave it to him. But hey, you know, you had some big name retiring that year, and you got to have the Disneyland. I'm retiring with the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, it was just kind of nonsense, you know? It was so terribly played out, you know? Now, I don't know if it was just bad coincidentally or if it was planned, and the NFL was kind of like, you know, hey, referees, we'd really like it if this is how it went. wink, wink, nudge, nudge, right? You know, because you got to start wondering because some of the calls were so terribly bad. But,
well, it's a,
you know, and then they do,
the
and then
thing,
you
right?
get stuff like this where these guys clearly are cheating. You know, they've got a history of cheating on that team because Belichick just got smashed for cheating just like, what, 3-4 years ago, where they got a bunch of fines and lost draft picks. And, you know, here we are. Didn't that mentality in that organization of cheating is okay if you can get away with it is still clearly alive and well. You know, how many other
Absolutely.
Organizations are that way? You know, there's got to be more, you know, so.
Right. That's the point, right, is that nobody expects these things to be perfect. You know, I don't believe in unicorns. You know, but
unless it's an Apple product.
Right.
What
the fuck?
Sorry. It's the only place I hear about unicorns on a daily basis. So I don't know. You know, I mean, I hope the NFL decides to get their crap together. I'm hoping what's his face has the head of the NFL and gets to step down. I'm drawing a blank on his name here.
Goodell. The problem is Goodell has made the NFL rich.
Yeah, but you know what? The next guy can make him rich too. But I mean, and I think enough stuff happens and they keep going the way they've been going because I think people are unhappy with the NFL. They're tired of, you know, feeling like they're watching a sport played by a bunch of guys that are just like straight up criminals.
Yeah.
You know, which is too bad because the vast majority of those guys are just hardworking guys that played sports going through college. Some of them wouldn't have had a chance doing anything else because they came from really shitty areas. I knew a bunch of those guys and, you know, football was a real opportunity that they wouldn't have had otherwise to get an education and stuff. And it paid off, you know, but I think it can continue to be a good thing into the NFL, but they got to realize that they can't just go crazy and, you know, they're going to ruin their own kingdom,
You mean by like exporting 2 games a year to London?
You know, I got to be honest. I've seen some. You know, those are actually just more entertaining because I know they were trying to get the NFL in Japan going, right? And so they had a year where they had 2 NFL teams go over to Europe and play, and they had 2 or it was maybe it was actually in, must have been actually in Japan the one that I saw. They're playing in Japan and they had 2 football teams, what their pro league was at the time, I'm not sure it's there anymore, played with them, right? And so what they did is they paired them up, so it was one of the Japanese teams and one of the American teams against the other Japanese and American team. And what they would do is they would rotate, so one drive it would be the American offense. The 2 American teams would be going against each other. Then they'd switch and they'd do a, you know, they switch offense, defense. The next drive, they would be the American teams. Then they would switch to the 2 Japanese teams. And it was really great watching the Japanese guys run off the field and the American guys running onto the field because it looked like normal American guys like you see on TV, you know, like when we watch the NFL. And it looked like Pop Warner. You know, kids running off for the Japanese team. It's kind of comical, right? You know, and I was like, and then I'm just on top of it. I was curious if that actually made any difference. I think that ended up all getting shut down, so I'm not sure that it did, but it was still humorous to watch.
Okay.
Kind of an interesting side note there. It's comical, some of the stuff they come up with.
Yeah. All right. So, you know what? We're going to save the NCAA for a longer conversation.
Yeah, I got a lot to add on that one.
I'm sure you do. But yeah, you know, again, got to pay attention to what these sports leagues are doing. Got to pay attention to what your local politicians are doing in response to these sports leagues, you know, and figure out if you really want your money going here.
Yeah.
And if you do, that's fine. I'm not arguing that you shouldn't. But, you know, just be informed.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you enjoy the sport, it matters, right? Because they will destroy it and they will make it meaningless if they get the chance. So it does matter. So, you know, voice your opinion when you get the chance. If you don't care, it's still important, but maybe not directly to you.
Right. But it's still important because, I mean, it is ultimately dollars in your local backyard.
Yep.
One way or another, right? And like having a World Cup or an Olympics, that's in your backyard. That is incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of money.
Lots of money.
A lot of money. Okay. So, so in case you were actually tuning in this week looking for our discussion on the minimum wage, We're gonna wait until Diane comes back to have that conversation. But hopefully you've enjoyed this brief interlude.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, hey, no problem. And just a couple other things, kind of sort of. Oh, by the way, but hey, did you see that Rick Perry jumped in?
I did. I did notice that the male version of Sarah Palin has jumped in. And in other news that is just as important, he found lint in his belly button today too. So, you know, cheers all round.
Hate mail, care of Brian Williams.
Yeah, I don't care. That guy's meaningless. You know, he's going to stand up there and do his Sarah Palin act with his glasses and his tan, and look how great I am. I forgot what country I'm in.
The thing that I thought was most amazing, and this is chutzpah in my opinion, I'll give him this, right? He's still facing felony and misdemeanor charges there in Texas.
Oh, well, the best part is, oh, go ahead, sorry.
You know, and so to announce that you are running for the presidency of the United States of America while you are still under indictment, that is some kind of balls.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's balls. I just think it's stupidity. I think the guy's too dumb for his own good, right? Because if you've heard his, I actually heard his announcement, like his campaign announcement today, and he's like, "Yeah, a lot of people running for president will, a lot of candidates will tell you the right thing, not me." And I just happened to turn off my car right there, and I was like, "That might be the most appropriate." If it had just stopped right there, man, that would be some real truth in advertising right there. But I know there was a bunch of bullshit after that, and I'm glad I didn't screw myself up by listening to it, because it probably would have just annoyed me for the next hour. But yeah, I was like, good way to tell it, dude. Yeah, you're not going to tell us the right thing. You're going to tell us the wrong thing, or the stupid thing, or whatever. You insert your adjective here.
Exactly. I would also like to do a shout-out to the Pope for kicking Santorum's ass, not even realizing that he was in a knife fight with the guy.
Another mental giant in our midst.
And for everybody who missed it, and I'm not sure anybody missed it, but if you did miss it, Santorum came out and said that the Pope should not get involved in global warming debate, climate change, whatever, that that science should be left to the scientists. To which everybody pointed out that the Pope has a master's degree in chemistry. So, oh, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, oopsie. Oopsie. I said a dum-dum again.
And this is, of course, the appropriate time to mention that if you don't know what the word Santorum means, please go Google it.
And hopefully that will... I mean, that has got to be one of the most dearly earned slaps in the face of all time.
Ever.
Yeah, and man... You talk about somebody who's really earned it. Yeah,
yep.
Go look it up. Santorum, you'll love it.
All right. So I think that's going to kind of take us to the end of the show tonight. Bob, I do appreciate you joining in.
Yeah,
Diane appreciates
thanks
it
for,
a lot.
Thanks for sticking with the amateur. Hopefully you'll have Diane back and you'll actually have some meaningful conversation soon. But it was fun to throw my two cents in on sports.
Yeah, absolutely. And if Bob is still with us next week, we'll talk about something different.
Something not sports.
That's right. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. And we'll be talking again soon.
All right. Thanks again.
People, you got a fever.